Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name's John Mays, I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. Over the past couple of weeks, I've talked to you about the problem of evil, that's more of a problem that we can solve and face daily, that if anything, it's a problem for those who don't believe in a God. And I've covered a lot of different topics over the past, who knows, I've got this will be podcast 119 that I have recorded. So there's been a lot of topics covered. And I don't have anything really specific today to talk about, I don't guess. But I do have some observations, and I'm not going to rant and complain. I'm just going to throw them out there. Some of the observations I want to talk about, maybe the church, the Bible, apologists, different things. Nothing too in-depth, just something that, I don't know, I consider to be, I don't know what the word would be. I consider these topics or these thoughts to be just that. Things I don't understand. Things I maybe not grasp that we as Christians do or don't do. And the first one would be the Bible. I mean, on most days, I firmly believe that I read a different Bible than anybody I meet that professes to be a Christian. And it's not funny. I mean, I really feel that way because the Bible I read talks about a man that started a lot of controversy. Talks about the apostles, the disciples that followed him, that they stirred up a lot of arguments and division among the Jews and among other professing Christians, Gentiles at the time. And I can't find the person that most people seem to talk about that's in the Bible. That being Jesus, of course. I can't find that loving, and I've said before, the Barney type Jesus that everybody seems to think that Jesus was. I mean, Jesus was Jesus was the smartest man that ever lived. I have an entire lecture on that. I may do that sometime. But it seems the church pictures Jesus as this guy that just walked around and, you know, because he healed people, he was just loving on them. And because he fed people, he was just, you know, that means we should feed people. And he also made a lot of people mad. I mean, the Bible I read, I just finished reading the book of Acts, for example. Not for the first time, obviously, but for the who knows how many times. But the entire book talks about controversy. I mean, Stephen getting stoned, Paul going to jail, Peter going to jail. I mean, there was nothing lollipops and Ferris wheels about what was taking place. And Luke gives a very accurate description of what was taking place during the first century. I mean, from the very beginning, the Jews, I mean, there was thousands on the day of Pentecost that thought the disciples, the apostles, and there's a difference there, but anyway, were just a bunch of drunks, you know, because they were speaking in other tongues, and people misuse that verse so often, and I'm not sure why it's not more obvious to others. I mean, yeah, I did go to school and No, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible prior to going to school. And maybe that contributes to it, but in the same sense, those people that do what I do now, that are apologists, my peers, or whatever you would like to refer to them as, they think I'm the dumb one, or that I'm stupid, or whatever. Idiot is the term I typically use. Because, A, my grammar is not the best in the world, and B, I do have an accent. I'm from southern West Virginia, but I can't help any of that. That doesn't mean that I lack knowledge or wisdom. I've done a lot of things in my 55 years of existence. But the point being, I don't feel like that I could reach people talking to them in southern West Virginia or anywhere else that I talk to them the way that my peers talk to each other. Even in my classes at Marshall, I talk just like I talk to you in the podcasts. And some people may think the podcasts are comical or whatever, and that's okay, because ultimately it doesn't matter, because I'm trying to help, and I'm trying to help those that I come into contact with. And living in southern West Virginia, that's my audience. There's only 16% of the people in the entire state that have bachelor's degrees. And that's not saying anything bad. That's just a fact. I'm not making fun of anybody by any stretch. I'm just saying that it's a complete different world compared to some other places outside of West Virginia. So I guess my entire point there is reading the Bible takes time. I mean, you have to study. You just can't read through it and pick out a verse that you like and say, hey, that's what I'm going to live by or whatever. I mean, and I've done podcasts to try to help you. I used to write blogs to try to help, but I don't think anybody reads much anymore. I don't know. We scroll through Facebook quite a bit, but and I'm guilty. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I probably spend too much time on Facebook. I'm just saying that the Bible that I read, I wish somebody would show me, I guess, where you're reading about all this love and all this, as I said, lollipops and Ferris wheel lifestyle. I mean, Jesus was poor. Paul worked three times. He was supported. Peter told the guy, the leper, that he had no money, but he would tell him about Jesus. And where we get love out of that, I don't know. I mean, because they were doing these things to show the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. God is Jesus. They are one in three with the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-existent. There's no, I don't know what some people believe about it. I mean, that's really hard to kind of explain what I'm trying to get at, because they pick out, they being the ones that read the different book than what I'm reading, and I just don't see it. Yes, I know that Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. That was the second commandment that he gave. The first commandment was to love him. I mean, and his followers didn't understand him. So I'm confident that if we just say we love him or we feel him in our heart, that's not exactly what he was talking about. I mean, that's just like faith. If you talk to people about faith, not the woman or whoever faith may be, the faith of a mustard seed, as Jesus said, but belief in God, they want to go to Hebrews 11:1 and tell you, you know, this is faith. You don't need to know all this other stuff that you talk about. But that example in itself says the evidence not seen, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I don't set out to try and upset anybody or cause division or make anybody mad. And I really, you know, I feel like the bad guy, and I don't mean to be. I mean, it's a lonely life that I live, because nobody cares. I've done maybe they do. I shouldn't be that harsh, but it doesn't appear that most people care outside of academia. And the Bible talks a lot about, you know, what happened, and Paul tells you a lot of the ways to live and what to do and such things as that, but it's not a rule book. I mean, he was trying to share with people about false teachers and about what the gospel that he had shared with them, and they were listening to all this other nonsense. I mean, nothing's changed, really. I don't know why I go on about it or why I let it bother me. I mean, the same thing that is going on in the first century, that was going on in the first century, is the same thing that's going on today. The people don't care. I mean, you think about how many followers Jesus lost when he said, "Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." I mean, just in one sentence, he lost thousands of followers. But I guess maybe I ask you to read the Bible. I mean, take it literally where it's meant to be literal, but all of it's not meant to be read that way. And you need to read it in context. You can't just take out a specific verse. And I've used Acts 2:38 numerous times, which has caused three different denominations from one verse. And I don't know. Just don't read one verse. There's a lot of things to take into consideration when you're reading the Bible. And I don't know. I think maybe that... I don't know. It blows my mind. So let's move on to the church and churches I've attended, churches I watch. I like to watch Facebook feeds of churches. I don't watch them live because I'm at church most of the time. But I come home and I'll watch them, and it never ceases to amaze me. It's similar to the Bible. I can watch any service pretty much online, and it doesn't matter if the pastor's been to seminary or if he just woke up one day and felt like he's a preacher, he read the book. I don't know how that comes about, but whatever. They all seem to be the same theme. And again, it's a completely different theme than where I live. Not literally where I live or where I reside, but in my walk with Christ and my walk with God as a follower, as a believer. I know a church locally that has spent 3 weeks on being a neighbor, you know, to get to know your neighbors. They combined the first and greatest commandment with the second greatest commandment, according to Jesus anyway, about being neighborly. And yeah, why not? We should be neighborly. But Mr. Rogers was neighborly. I don't know where that falls into Christianity at. It does say to turn the other cheek, but you know, you can't just take the turn the other cheek verse or use the portions about Jesus feeding the 5,000, and he talks about taking care of the widows and the orphans, and all those things are fantastic and they're biblical, but that's not the focus of being a Christian. God is our focus, or should be. So maybe that's where I'm confused. I mean, I get told all the time that I'm not loving enough, and I don't, you know, show a Christ-like example. And I don't know what that means, because a Christ-like example, which I show the part about being poor and living on support, which is what he did, but in the same sense, he turned over tables. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers and hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. I mean, he didn't beat around the bush as far as that goes. I mean, he cursed a fig tree. And people don't kill you, typically. I mean, there's killings going on every day for no apparent reason. But typically, they didn't kill Jesus because he was a nice guy running around making friends and being everybody's neighbor. He didn't build relationships. I mean, he had one with Martha and her sister, and Mary, and he loved Lazarus. And that's fantastic. I think that's just being human. I mean, atheists will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you, that, you know, being nice is what we should do. I mean, you can build an argument from evolution on morals and ethics. I don't agree with it, but you can build one of why we should be nice. It's, you know, to see the better of men for the greater good. That's why we do things that are good. We try to take care of each other to make the world a better place. And that's not being a Christian. That's just being a human, an individual. So I don't know. The churches that I watch on television or watch on Facebook, they, you know, they talk about praying for people, and you ask them why they pray, or God changes his mind, and they just look at you like you're trying to argue with them. And I'm not. I just want to know why we're doing this. When we're having altar calls, I mean, Jesus never had an altar call. I know Billy Graham did, but I'm not a Billy Graham fan. Ooh, sorry. You should read about him. Read about his history, his life. Read his autobiography sometime. Not saying he was a bad guy, but, you know, Billy Graham was just a guy and whatever. But, again, the churches that I go to or I watch are all doing the same thing that they've done since I was a child. Yes, I've told you many times that I had to go to church as a child and ended up agnostic because I thought it was crazy, and I still... It drives me crazy. It drives my poor wife crazy because she has to listen to it. And I don't guess she has to, but she listens to me. And she's like, why? Just stop. And I'm like, but baby, this is the most important thing in someone's life, or it should be. God should be first. The first and greatest commandment is to love God. And to just run around and pick a verse out and preach on it for 30 minutes, not even that long, 15 or 20 minutes, and then everybody feel good, and we're going to pray for the lost, and we're going to pray for the healings, and we're going to pray for all these things, and okay. I mean, that's fine. That's between you and God, but you should probably know why you're doing these things, not just because we've always done it. If you're local, I'm a friend of mine and I are planning to have a Bible study in my hometown. And it really scares me because my hometown looks at me as the person I used to be. So now I'm supposed to share my personal testimony. That's another church thing that's not biblical. There's no personal testimonies in the entire book. No evangelistic personal testimony, should I say. Paul did use his testimony a couple of times to keep from going to jail, for lack of better terms. But even though I would tell somebody my personal testimony, I promise you, it was a lot better prior to salvation than it was at salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, being a Christian is the best thing that could possibly happen. The Holy Spirit moved in my heart, and I'm, you know, I feel like I'm saved anyway, and it's not based on a feeling. It's based on truth. The feeling is a part of it, yes, but it's based on truth because I've studied since I became a Christian. Literally, I haven't just read devotionals or read through some books or read through the Bible. I have studied to learn what I know. That doesn't mean everybody has to do what I did. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, look around at the churches. Go to different churches. Watch them on Facebook or on TV. You're seeing the same older generation that you've seen, that I saw, and those people are dying off. And then what? Because what I do for a living as an apologist, for the most part, is I defend the truth of Christianity. That's why we have clubs on, Ratio Christi has clubs on college campuses, because less and less people are going to church nowadays, especially 18 to 30-year-olds. Look around. How many do you have in your Sunday school, as you call it? Which, again, I don't know where anybody came up with Sunday school, but I don't care about that either. If you want to do Sunday school, that's fine. But you look around. How old is the average person in your congregation? I attended one church for quite some time, and the average age was 45 of those who attending. Okay, 45. Their children don't know anything about why Christianity is true, because their mom and dad are being taught absolutely nothing about whether it's true or not, which goes back to faith. That's our fallback answer. And that, which just goes to show you, most people that say they're Christians aren't talking to anybody other than Christians, because if they were, they would have questions. So go out and try it. If you think I'm just saying that just to be smart or whatever, go out and tell somebody you're a Christian and see how that goes for you. Just say, you know, can I talk to you about being a Christian? Or however you want to approach it, just try it one time. Anybody. Somebody waits on you at the restaurant, try it with your family. I had a guy argue me a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. For 2 days, we went on and on and on and on. And I was trying to make a point to him because he is a younger individual, but he is dead set on the theology that his church believes. That's it, the bottom line. And it doesn't matter what theology he believes. That has no bearing on the conversation. The conversation was, I said, did you share truth with him? He's like, what is truth? I said, exactly. So how'd the conversation end? You shared your testimony and told him how great God had been to you and your family, and that Jesus died, and you probably shared the gospel with him. And what did he say at the end? And he actually admitted to me what I would tell most people now. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me, which is an entirely different conversation, because so many people think that they can have their truth, my truth, your truth. And we listen to Oprah. She thinks that, or she said it on television. And this individual, did I change his mind? No, because he wants to go about it the way he's always been taught, because it's been comfortable that way. And he told the guy nothing about Christianity being true. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to convince, we being the apologists, somehow convince Christians that instead of just saying I believe because of faith or a feeling in my heart or whatever, we need to change the mindset that it's true. I think that would help tremendously, but people think that I think incorrectly. So, you know, moving on from the church situation, oh my goodness, I've rattled forever. Seems to me that apologists are the only ones that sees this problem, and there's so few of us, comparatively speaking, to other Christians. That can't be accurate. So, I don't know what to do there. I bet if you ask 90% of the people that profess to be Christians, they couldn't name you one apologist. Seriously. And we're the ones out here that's boots on the ground, beating our heads against the wall, trying to tell people, you know, Christianity is true. It's not just a feeling. So real quick, over the weekend, they had what they call RecFest at Marshall University. It's actually designed for new incoming freshmen. We obviously had a table set up, and I stopped people and asked them randomly, are you a Christian? Do you believe in God? Do you think something could be true for you and not for me? And you would believe the responses because you've never done that. It was sad. They don't know because they've never been taught. Their parents don't know. Their grandparents don't know, and so forth. So that's one reason that Ratio Christi exists. We exist to defend the truth of Christianity outside of not just the college campuses, but to the church, those who profess to be followers. And apologetics, whether you like it or not, if you give me a reason that you don't like it, you are doing apologetics. Probably not very well. But apologetics is biblical from the Genesis to Revelation. In the beginning, God created. That's an apologetic, which is another different topic again. Not to have a specific topic this time, I've talked a lot longer than I meant to talk. I don't apologize because there's a lot of things that are just thoughts that I wish Christians would sit down and say, I've never thought about that before. So questions or comments, please email me at johnmays@rushochristy.org. And if you'd like to be a part of our financial support team, and support is biblical, Paul lived on support, Jesus lived on support, I'm a missionary and I live on support, and I am nowhere near Paul or Jesus. I'm just trying to live a Christ-like life. You can join our financial support team at johnmays.ratiochristy.org. And until next time, well, you probably have been thunderstruck.